Bogarty.
Ben Lawrence, how is it going, sir?
It is cold over here.
Really? Okay, let's play Where Is It Colder? How cold is it over there?
I think the outside temperature is about 30 degrees. It is forecasted to snow tonight.
All right. The temperature here is 25 degrees.
Okay.
But clear skies.
Yeah.
Clear. The low tonight is going to be 19 degrees.
Wow.
Well.
Keep your kids and your pets indoors, then.
Yep. Snow next Friday, it says. So.
There's going to be snow next Friday. Well, what happened next Friday? We're forecasted to get...
The Friday after next. Sorry. Friday after next.
We're forecasted to get 3 to 4 inches. Last I heard, 3 to 4 inches beginning at about 10 p.m. However, it is supposed to turn to rain overnight or in the morning, and it'll mostly be gone by the morning commute. So it'll still mess everything up.
I've got a concern regarding my laptop. So I have a laptop, right?
Yeah.
That I leave at work so that I don't do any work from home because I'm at work enough.
Right.
But whenever snow threatens, I like taking it because then I can say, I'm not coming into work today. I'm working from home.
Right.
So we'll see how that goes.
I, however, live within walking distance of work, so I don't really have any excuse.
What? Oh, man, I didn't know that. That's crazy. That sounds like your city is designed the way it should be. Anyhow, well, that's another story.
There's so many hills and things. I would not want to drive. I've driven in the snow here. It's not fun.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty funny, actually. Any listeners who get a chance... look on YouTube for Seattle drivers snow, and you'll see some funny things.
Yeah, cars playing ping pong with each other.
Indeed. Okay, so Ben,
Paul,
I have to tell you, your phrase ping pong has triggered me to talk about Pizzagate.
Oh boy.
Okay, so. So, Ben, you know me.
Yeah.
We know each other very well.
Yeah.
And what do we know about me?
You like conspiracies?
I have paranoid delusions.
Yes.
It is a real thing. And let me tell you, it is very disturbing to see that being normalized. Because I can always rely on the news media to give me a baseline for me to go, okay... No matter what weird things I'm thinking of, at least I know that this, whatever, you know, this is normal.
Yeah, but...
And what is happening?
I'd like to draw a bit of a distinction between one's legitimate paranoid delusions and the machinations of a group of people in a deliberate attempt to thwart democracy.
But yes, they're rooted kind of in a similar thing, though. I mean, this is okay. Were you around for the Satanic Panic of the 1980s?
The Satanic Panic?
Yes.
Remind me what the Satanic Panic was.
In the 1980s, there was a big fear that there were Satanists who worked in schools and daycares and things like that, who were stealing children and or simply abusing them while in the facilities. And that they were all Satanists.
Was this a Midwest thing?
Ring any bells at all? It may have just been a Midwest thing.
Because I don't remember that.
I mean, if the internet had been around, it would have been a worldwide thing. Because
probably.
As my wife points out, that's not just the 80s. I mean... Fears of witches and Satanism and things like that. And by the way, any people who practice witchcraft listening, I know that witchcraft and Satanism aren't the same things. I'm speaking of the people who are afraid of them. You know, that's been around forever. It's just, it got an update in the 1980s.
Okay.
An example of this would be people were afraid that Satanists would record messages to each other on blank cassette tapes and then distribute them through Walmart and so on and so forth.
Is this...
So that is if this, you saw someone... Go ahead, yeah.
Is this connected at all to the theory that there were reverse messages in... like if you played a Judas Priest song backwards, you would hear a satanic message?
Yes. Yes, similar indeed. But the blank audio tape thing was a little bit weirder.
Yeah, I don't remember the blank audio tape thing. And there were no Walmarts in the 80s when I grew up.
Well, you know, and it, not just Walmart. I was just using that as an example.
Yeah.
So the idea is if you saw someone buying a set of blank cassettes as a child, if you had heard this rumor, because a lot of it was spread by school children to school children.
Right.
You would go, ah-ha-ha, that may be one of them. That kind of thing.
I actually think it was spread by the blank tape manufacturers.
Wait, no. See, because people wouldn't want to buy them. That's the thing. Oh, yeah, unless if it were run by the blank tape manufacturers, it would say this. So you need to buy, but they don't do it for all of them. So you need to buy a bunch of them, and eventually you'll find one of them. Right?
Yeah exactly. It'll spurn people to buy them to look for these supposed messages.
But so then again, you know, fast forward now, Pizzagate, same idea. There's this pizza place, and if you look at the menu on the pizza place, it's telling you what kind of children there are that you can abuse at their pizza place. That sort of thing. Same, a different outlet, a different mode of transmittal. It's being done through the radio and internet. Rather than from kid to kid.
Yeah, but it was also...
But it's the same basic thing.
It was also a device to smear the Clinton campaign. Because what Pizzagate was all about was the fact that Hillary Clinton and her campaign manager, John Podesta, running this child sex ring out of that pizzeria. Which I don't remember the name of it, but it's like it's something ping pong.
Yes, and the inference that people got from that, right? I'm not talking about the person who's actually doing it, right? The person who's spreading it. I'm talking about the people who are listening to it, right? Some people took that at face value and said, oh, this is happening. That's the crazy bit.
That's all. That's also part because of the echo chamber that one
right
builds on their in their daily lives online.
People wanting to believe, also confirmation bias, people wanting to believe that they're bad, there's something wrong going on with them. Yeah. Hey Betty, what's up? My daughter has just entered the room.
Did you go to the store and buy some milk?
Yes, we bought milk when we were...
Oh.
Did you find the milk?
Milk in the fridge.
Yeah, we bought it when we went to Aldi.
I guess I don't remember that.
Yep, it totally happened. Shut the door, please.
Can she not find the milk?
She did not shut the door. Betty! Shut the door, please. All right, well, that's it. The door's just going to stay open.
I'm a terrible milk drinker, I got to say. I bought some milk last time I went grocery shopping, and that's been a while. I think I've had one bowl of cereal with it.
See, these days, people buy milk. They don't drink it as much. I don't know. It's weird. Oh, so, but here's the thing, right? This is the difference. When I have delusions, right?
Yeah.
I have them, and then I talk to someone... And someone says, oh, hey, that's not true. And then we move on.
But you're...
The difference here, and believe me, the difference here is that someone perceives as an authority is not having a delusion. They're broadcasting one and telling people this is absolutely true, right? It's like a reverse of the thing that I experience.
Yeah, they're,
if you had that thought, if you were at a pizza place and you said, "Wow, I think there are probably people tied up in the back or anything like that," you would go, "Okay, that's a crazy thought.
Yeah,
that can't be true." But because people are separated from the logic centers, and they're being told, "Oh, these outlets that you normally trust to tell you what's going on, they're all fake," right? You're removing that support system to the point that someone who is probably not as delusional as I am is behaving as though they are super delusional. They are, in effect, becoming mentally ill through inducement.
However,
yes.
Do you think that the people who are becoming mentally ill through, what was it, inducement?
Inducement, yes.
Do you think that that's actually happening? Or do you think that the sort of like paranoid delusion broadcast is actually just being picked up by people, not because they think it's true, not because they believe it, but because it plays into the narrative that they want to boost the signal for, because it plays into the narrative that will make that will give an advantage to, quote, their side?
Okay, so this is the way I look at it. The people, I will speak directly about the people that have, let's say, the people that have programs, right? The people that either the people that own websites or the people that have radio broadcasts, whatever. Those people are not the people I'm talking about, right? Those are the people who are spreading the idea. And I think they probably fall into your category. Not everyone.
No, but
right?
I'm not even talking about them. I'm talking about the listeners. I'm talking about the supporters. I'm talking about the people on Reddit who boost the signal.
So
I don't think these people are being fed and are believing this paranoid delusion. I think they're just playing into the game.
So eventually, though, and this is what I'm speaking about, there are people that spread it, right? The inducement that I'm talking about are the people who actually take action based on it. They're given, now, well, I'm not saying that they weren't already, you know, having problems, but people who would actually show up to a place, right? Think about what a motivator that needs to be. That's not normal. That's not normal behavior. Showing up to a place with your gun to investigate what's going on is not normal behavior.
All right. No, that is not normal behavior, and that is an outlier. There, you know, yes, one person showed up to that pizza place.
I'm speaking about the outliers when I say mental illness through inducement. I speak about the people who actually... Now, is that person already mentally ill?
But perhaps. Yeah, no. Did this induce that, or did it just
well, this
bring
is the difference.
The forefront?
What I'm saying is that the paranoid delusion that they're having did not generate in their own brain. This was packaged up and sent to them. That's the difference. I can say, well, Jimmy Carter is, you know, head of Coca-Cola, so we went to a war in a place where, so he could have a new Coca-Cola factory, right? I can say that to you. That's one thing, right? Maybe I heard it on the radio, maybe I talked to somebody, but actually then, you know, flying to see Jimmy Carter now to take action about it, that's a whole nother level of whatever, right? If I just came up with something on my own, like let's say I think my mailman has transmitters in his shoes, right? I throw some paint on my mailman's shoes. That's me being crazy, doing a crazy thing. If you call me on the phone and say, "Hey, I just want to let you know your mailman has transmitters in his shoes. You can get rid of that by putting paint on it." You still have to be a little crazy to do it, right? But someone has induced you to that behavior.
So,
you didn't come up with it on your own.
So I'm gonna have to say something here that I think I've said before. What's your point? What are you getting
at? My point is that because of the internet and because of, you know, the wide reaching point of radio programs, right? Specifically, the segmentation of the population through echo chambers. We have a phenomenon, and we will continue to have a phenomenon that we haven't seen as much, which is people who have mental problems not only not getting help, but be having their issue exacerbated by people who want them to act.
It's I would call it irony, but it's not. These people aren't getting health because social services are being gutted by the people that legislators that these people vote for, if they voted.
Well, if you look at the cabinet that's being assembled, right?
Do I have to?
No, I can't. Sorry, Betty wanted me to leave the room, and I am putting my foot down. No.
You're in her room?
No, I'm in my room.
Oh.
You see what I mean? So if you look at the people that somebody put in a cabinet, and you remember our friend Stephen McCandless, right? Saying that there were people who were trying to wreck the government, right? Back when George W. Bush was president. They were trying to wreck the government through inefficiency and through mismanagement. To bankrupt it, to make it so it's no longer functioning. And you look at the people that are being appointed now, with that idea in mind, to me, it seems like this administration is picking up where the George W. Bush administration left off. The idea is that by the time they're done, the federal government won't be able to operate anymore.
Well, and I would say that has never really stopped. Even through the 8 years of the Obama presidency, the obstructionist Congress still just gridlocked Washington.
Oh, but we're not talking about. I mean, this is a different kind of animal. Putting people in charge of departments who are the exact antithesis of what those departments are supposed to do.
Right.
Pretty exciting. If you're interested in that kind of, you know, scorched earth mentality, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, you know, I'd hate to just have schadenfreude at the fact that, of watching my government burn, because it will just ruin the lives of millions of people.
Most of the people who voted it in, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Are going to be the first ones affected. Yeah,
exactly.
Wouldn't you hate to have to live through? Oh, wait, you are going to have to live through it, Ben. We all are. It's going to be crazy.
So something else I want to bring up. It's a callback from last week. It's an update,
yes.
I guess, from last week. We talked about
this.
We talked about this worker from this solar power installation company in Wallingford.
Yeah,
who was accused of yelling racial slurs at a group of kids walking to a Boys and Girls Club. And I gotta say, I will admit, I was quick to judge. I was quick to say, fire him and boycott the company, and how dare he? Not even thinking that maybe there's another side of the story. And what do you know? Another side came out. Now, no details are known about what exactly happened.
Yep.
However, the initial story that came out has not been able to be it has not been corroborated at all. Has not been proven.
Now, was there video for the original story?
There was not.
I seem to remember that there was.
There was no video for the original incident.
Ah,
see, that's
okay.
That's the important
there
part. Now, what I heard, and again, this is just something that was written in an update on, you know, in the newspaper, so I don't know if it's true, but the important point is the worker for the company said he never called the kids a racial slur. However, he did interfere with them when he noticed that the kids were not letting an elderly man walk on the sidewalk. So, chances are, now if you put some of this together, you can see that, okay, nobody is blameless in this equation. The kids might have been being jerks. The guy who is at the center of all this was probably a jerk back. And it just escalated. But what I want to point out is something that is we have to keep ourselves in check. There have been a lot of really terrible things happening in the name of, I don't want to say Trump, but in the name of white supremacy happening in the country. And so when something else happens, you're just like, all right, another incident, let's burn it to the ground. Well, you know, let's step back and take a look and get the facts.
Yeah, it's interesting. This is a good segue into something that I came up with over the past week based on things similar to this, not this one in particular. I didn't know. It's good to hear that. Well, it's not good to hear. You know what I mean? It's interesting.
Yeah.
But it's something I'm calling the proximity principle. It basically goes like this. When I hear about an incident, right? Do I personally know anyone involved? If not, is the incident within a short amount of distance from where I'm at? And if not, I kind of look at it like this. And I know this sounds weird, but it's kind of true that the difference between that incident that was reported that I never saw, right? And a hypothetical situation that someone makes up. The difference between those two things, very slim. You know what I mean?
No, I'm not like, tracking. So you
okay. Let's say for instance.
You're looking at the delta between what is reported and what you imagine?
Well, here's an example. When I was living in Seattle, there was a woman who was working in customer service with me who said that one of the Metro bus drivers wouldn't let her get off the bus.
Okay.
He drove all the way to the end of his route, past where she wanted to be at, and then he stopped and said, okay, get out. And when she complained that this wasn't anywhere near that she wanted to be, he said, sorry, not my problem. Okay?
Yeah.
So I've just told you this story. The difference between it being a true story that she told me, right, and something that I just made up and told you, for your life, Ben Lawrence's life, is negligible. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It doesn't affect me at all.
It doesn't really affect you at all. I mean, it's an interesting story. Maybe if... Okay, so then I tell you that story, right?
Yeah.
And then I say, and that's how I know that everyone that drives for Metro is racist. It doesn't make any sense, right?
Right.
I mean, okay, so... In the same way, right? If I say to you, oh, well, I know that so-and-so once bought a Chinese guy a donut, so he can't be racist. Again, that's one of those things of, okay, I don't know that guy. I don't know this incident that you're talking about. I'm sure it's great, but, you know, the fact is that the racism or not racism of an individual that we don't know based on a story about them is very difficult to prove, number one, and number two, has very little bearing on our own daily lives if we don't know that person.
Well,
especially if that person lives in a state that we're not in.
Yeah, I mean, except for the fact that we all want there not to be any racism, and if, when we hear instances of institutional racism like that, then you know you want to there's a part of you that wants to work to correct it, to make the world a better place. I wouldn't say it has no bearing. It does. It certainly colors my worldview. Even if a story I hear is hypocritical, there are people and instances like that have existed.
Right. And so here's, this would be the thing I would say is from that you can take, if I'm ever in a situation where I see something like this happen, I've decided that the right thing to do is to, you know, videotape the thing, tell the person to leave that person alone, whatever.
Would you engage?
I can say with almost 100% certainty that I am a coward when it comes to confronting people in public about these things.
Yeah.
But that does not mean that I won't, because every once in a while I also snap and do things that I think are out of character. I'll give you two examples.
No, just one would be fine.
Because they're opposites. The first example, I was in Barnes & Noble in Seattle, Washington. And there was a guy with his daughter, right? And he yelled at his daughter, "I'm not getting you any more of these fucking books." And grabbed her by the arm and started walking out with her. And one of the people at the counter, one of the people that worked there, walked over to him and said, "Sir, you can't talk to her like that." And he goes, "Boo hoo hoo, the world's horrible." And then left with his daughter.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire time, I did not say anything. I just watched it. Did not engage. Didn't say a word.
Right.
However, another time when I was on the bus, this woman was talking really loud on her cell phone, and this guy told her to shut up. And she said, "What did you say?" And I said to her, "He told you to shut up. It's because you're being really loud on your phone, and everyone on the bus can't stand it." When I look at those two situations, right, yeah, I know exactly what it was. It's that I was afraid of that guy.
Right.
I was in no way afraid of her, and also she broke what I thought was a social contract. She was a safe person for me to go after, which is horrible, but something that I know about myself.
So, yeah, I mean,
so I would say if it's an old lady being mean to somebody, yeah, I'll probably say something. If she's weak and I could outrun her if she got mad at me, I'd probably say something. If it's a 300-pound, you know, guy with an axe handle yelling at someone, I may not do anything. I know that about myself.
I've had to reflect on this recently because it is becoming the world that we're living in, and we need to decide what kind of a person we are if we are going to engage in that regard. Now, I will say, for the woman on the bus talking loudly on her cell phone, I probably wouldn't have said something because it's not important. As for if I were there, I would have just like put my headphones on. I probably would not have even heard the woman talking in the first place. However,
In fact, I would say this: in these days, I probably wouldn't either.
Yeah, for the guy who wouldn't buy his daughter a book. Now, I am.
Oh, and it wasn't that he wouldn't buy her a book. This is important.
No, I know he's
not only that, he wouldn't let her. Yeah, he wouldn't let her sit down and read.
Yeah.
He was tired of being at Barnes & Noble.
So
and I don't know if it was her dad or, you know,
so here's
his
the thing.
Wife's kid,
now,
whatever.
I'm not a parent. You're a parent. But what I,
yeah.
from what I gather, parents do not
oh,
like
I
being told.
Oh, I wasn't a parent at the time.
Well,
also,
do
that's
not,
important.
Parents do not like being told how to parent. Right?
Yes.
And
that is correct.
You, if I feel somebody's being a bad parent in public, I, again, am not going to say anything unless I sincerely feel that the child is in danger. Or if,
yes.
or if there is child abuse. Now, I was walking down the street last night, and as with a big urban center, you often hear yelling. And so I'm like,
yes.
okay, so there's, you know, my immediate reaction is there's a crazy person up front in front of me where I'm walking. I get closer and it's a group of people and the person who was yelling is, pushing a stroller. And
okay.
the kid in the stroller probably was no older than a year. Maybe a year and a half.
Okay.
And as I passed the woman pushing the stroller, the woman lit a cigarette. Now, I am not going to say anything because I'm not going to tell a woman how to raise, you know, this. I was assuming it was her daughter. It probably wasn't. But, you know, but it's not my place to say, okay, well, you know, studies have shown that secondhand smoke can lead to serious health
yeah.
issues. You know, but what are you going to do in that situation? However, so these are things that I need to, that, you know, social contract or not, I am not the kind of person to engage. Now, there was an incident at a local Starbucks, and you may know about this, where an African-American woman was sitting in the Starbucks and a Caucasian man started yelling racial obscenities at her inside the Starbucks and nobody did anything. Nobody said anything. I think a cashier at the Starbucks politely asked the man to leave.
Oh, but are you talking about the incident where there were two people who weren't going to pay for their coffee, they wanted their money back?
No, this the that
this
I don't
is
think,
a new one.
I don't think that has, if that is not a detail I have heard. If that is a detail in the story, then it's not been what has been, it's I've not seen that reporting. But the point is nobody interfered. Nobody stopped it. Passive aggressive Seattle, people just kept to their business. Now,
this was in Seattle. Okay.
This was in Seattle. Right. This was at the Starbucks here on Pike and Broadway.
Whoa.
And
okay.
And so it became a thing. And the woman who was the target turns out, you know, she was like a professor at the Seattle Community College or North Seattle College somewhere.
Hmm.
Right? She's a citizen with some standing, and nobody said anything. And I have to, now I'm putting myself in that Starbucks. I'm like, what would I do something? Would I stand up? Would I try to escort this person out of the Starbucks? Would I engage? And I got to tell you, I don't think I would. I would want to. I would feel I would need to. But I'm not at that point yet where I feel that I can safely engage in that kind of thing. And honestly, I think that's going to have to change. I think we're going to have
to
do that.
Can I do a follow-up with that really quick?
Sure.
When I did that on the bus, right, I really thought that everyone would think that I was a hero. Like, I'm saying what we're all thinking, right?
Right.
But what in fact happened is I became another one of the crazy people.
Right.
Because I broke the social contract also. You don't do that on the bus.
Yeah.
That's the thing. In order to say something, and this is absolutely true, in order to say something in that situation, you have to be someone outside of the normal social contract.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing about the bus too, you can't really leave.
Yeah.
You tell this woman off, but then you're stuck just sitting there for the rest of the ride.
Oh yeah. That was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. In a situation like the Starbucks one.
Yeah.
Right. If you're a cop, you could say something. If you're a soldier, you could say something. If you're, if you're just a customer, saying something is weird. If you're a famous customer, you could say, there are all these different, if you have an identity, right? Like if you say, I'm a social worker and these kind of things are bad. I'm a teacher. If you have an identity that allows you to speak up against this, then it works. And right now, as you're saying, in the United States, sane white guy at a coffee shop is not one of those archetypes yet. It may happen.
Yeah.
But the fact is that someone, and this is the way that it works across the board with this kind of stuff. We, as a general, demographic, right? We try to make everything, I'm talking about you and me, like kind of dorky white dudes. We want everyone to get along.
Are we middle-aged yet? Have we reached that point? When does middle-aged start?
I think we are. I think we are middle-aged.
All right.
The fact is, we'll see this happen, right?
Yeah.
And we don't want that guy to be doing that. He shouldn't be doing that, right?
Yeah.
But there's no way to get him to stop without also stepping out of line ourselves.
And putting yourself in danger, too. You don't know if this guy's got a knife, if this guy's got a gun.
Yeah,
true. If you start yelling at him to stop, he starts yelling back. And you try to be the hero and you try to escort him out. Then what? You get him out of the store. He's just going to go to another store and do the same thing. Nothing is learned.
Well, the other thing is that we, as white males in the United States at this time, right, are less likely to be in danger than any other person in that situation.
True. Yeah.
Because we're at the same social standing as he is. If the police show up, and it's our word against his, it doesn't, tip in his favor automatically. That kind of thing.
Yeah. There's a...
Which is crazy.
A certain amount of social privilege that comes with being a white male.
Yeah. For better or for worse. Which is why if you can allow yourself to be a little crazy and say stuff in those situations, eventually, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see, but I will say this. I have been in situations, they've all been in bars, right?
Bars?
Bars. I don't go to bars that often, and this is the reason why, because
I know.
I've been to, what's that?
I was going to say, I can't remember the last time I was with you in a bar.
No. This is when I was younger.
Okay.
Mostly when I was younger and sometimes... mostly when I was in the military also.
Yeah.
But where if somebody is out of line, right? The person that does confront them lots of times is a friend of theirs. Someone that knows them.
Right.
And says, hey, man, stop it. And they listen. Right. Now, I'm not saying that you're this guy's friend, but I'm saying that you're closer to his quote unquote tribe. If he's being racist, right?
Yeah.
He has shown you.
I actually hadn't thought of that.
That he cares about those demographics. He has already bought into the demographics in that sense. So you know that you have some cachet with him as far as that goes. But I wouldn't recommend it. Getting involved with anything, Ben. Stay inside. Don't go outside.
I never left my apartment yesterday, and it was glorious.
Speaking about staying inside, I have started watching Westworld.
Oh, yeah.
I am towards the end of the sixth episode now. So don't tell me anything about it.
Okay. Let me know when you're done.
The first part of it?
Yeah, let's do it. Westworld spoilers for anybody listening.
Westworld spoilers for anyone listening.
Now, okay, remind me where you are. What has happened? So I don't want to get... Okay. I don't remember what happens in episode 6.
This is what's just happened. Clarissa Explains It All has determined that the head of QA is... Jeffrey Wright is standing in front of the head of QA, and Clarissa Explains It All has just said that the head of QA is the person who's beaming stuff out of the park.
Is that Elsa? Is she Clarissa?
I believe so. Black haired, sort of younger.
Yeah. She was on Clarissa Explains It All?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Just who she reminds me of. And I think she may actually be.
Oh, okay.
I haven't watched that many episodes, but she reminded me of that character. So.
Never seen it.
Is Teresa the QA, head of QA? Is that right?
She's like the park director. I don't know. I don't think she's the head of QA.
Teresa's the person I'm thinking of.
Yeah. She's like the boss.
Yeah, the person that Jeffrey Wright's character, Bernard. Was having an affair with.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at. He's just found that out. So, one of the first things I will say is that they have almost taken, but haven't taken entirely, my idea for the music for a TV show about alternate realities. You know, like a Sliders type TV show. The idea would be that the soundtrack for the entire thing are famous bands doing covers of songs by other famous bands. Did I tell you about this already?
We talked about covers last week.
So like Motorhead doing Enter Sandman? Yeah. So they do something like this. This might have even been why you mentioned Westworld to me in the first place.
Because the player, they have like, contemporary music on the player piano.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's cool. I like that.
And it's great. That's actually part of the show that I enjoy is when you hear a piece of music in the show, part of you is sort of taken out because you're trying to figure out what song is being played.
Exactly. And I honestly think that there are some times, and I can't be sure about this, where their original music also has things from other famous songs.
Yeah.
Kind of woven into it. It's not the exact, but it's sort of similar to, I think, play up the artificialness of the...
Yeah, there might be...
Other people.
There might be some phrases but, in
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. Phrases. That's exactly what...
Yeah.
What I mean, but I don't know of that for sure. I love the flip where the man in black, you know, you thought that he would be Yul Brynner's character.
Yeah.
Kind of, at least I did. But he's actually a human. And it's the humans that are unstoppable in Westworld. You know, I like that. That's pretty cool.
It puts a twist on who is more human, the robots or the humans.
Exactly.
There was,
and I also love the fact. Now, keep in mind that I'm saying this because you might have like a little lighthearted chuckle that comes up when I say this.
Okay.
Don't give it away because I don't want any information whatsoever.
All right, I'll mute my microphone.
I like the fact that the premise of the show is such that nothing can really be spoiled because you're already thinking of what may be happening. You're already questioning everything.
Yeah.
So the idea that there's a big twist that you didn't get isn't as big of a deal because you're already suspecting things that may or may not be true.
I will say,
you know what I mean?
I will say that, of all the big reveals, nothing has really come as a surprise. The reason it hasn't come as a surprise is because I had been following a lot of the fan theories on YouTube.
This is exactly the road I don't want to go down.
See, no, I'm not, hopefully I'm not giving anything away. But
what I don't want is I don't want any pieces of things that I will start to look at that I haven't already thought of. So don't go into specifics. You can just say that you followed the fan theories on YouTube.
No, yeah.
And they were wrong.
What did you think I was going to say?
I thought...
I'm not going to spoil anything.
I was following some of the fan theories on YouTube. One of them thought this,
but that turns out not to be true. No,
yeah, yeah.
So I watched like reviews, I watched wrap-ups, I saw fan theories. So whatever happens, you know, they kind of cover the gamut. Yeah. And so at watching it, watching the show, I'm just, like you say, the show does prepare you for what it's doing.
Yes.
And
I will say this also. I will be reading all of the trivia after it's done.
Yeah.
But I'm not reading any of the trivia or anything like that either. Because I don't want.
I haven't seen the original Westworld, though. I should check that out with Yul Brynner.
Yeah, I really didn't see it either. I've only seen bits and pieces of it.
It is, famously, the first film to use computer-generated imagery.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Which is pretty cool. Oh, gosh. Who's going to know about it?
There's a spoiler. There's computer-generated imagery in HBO's Westworld. Whoops.
Yeah. Oh, wait. No, spoiler. There's computer-generated imagery in the other Westworld. How about that? You're not going to be surprised about it anymore, Ben.
Yeah.
It's too late. But, yeah, I really am enjoying it. I love the cast. I think they did a great job of filling people in. I love Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah, Jeffrey Wright's great. I like Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, yeah. He's really good, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Good actor, Ben, I guess. I'd say probably. But no, this is true, and I really hate to say this. Whenever I watch Westworld and Anthony Hopkins is on screen, I just keep on going, if this were the Sci-Fi Channel, that would be Malcolm McDowell.
Does he do a lot of movies on sci-fi?
No. He's just white-haired British guy who I think gets paid less than Anthony Hopkins, although I can't be sure.
He's a low-rent Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, man, don't tell him I said that.
Hey, Malcolm! Like Malcolm!
No! No, Ben, don't! Don't!
You wouldn't believe what Paul said!
Oh, no!
Hopefully there's nobody in the theater right now named Malcolm.
I think we talked about this before when somebody said that they don't like Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, and I would always, my brain always puts Arnold Schwarzenegger outside of the door with a big box of chocolates and I love Ben sign. And then when you say, oh, I don't really like him that much, he just gets sad.
His finger is hovering over the doorbell.
Yeah,
and
exactly,
then he pulls it back. His head droops and turns and walks away, throws the chocolates into the bushes.
Yeah. You know, it's too bad, but really it wouldn't work between the two of you. Anyway, he's really misjudged the situation by that point, I think. Here's another thing that I have to say. It has been a persistent delusion ever since I was a kid that certain people are robots in the world. Not robots like machinery robots, but that
like
they're
auto assembly robots.
They don't have consciousness. They're like parroting behavior, and they're stuck in loops and things like that.
Oh, you're talking about
psychopaths. An obsession of mine. Yeah. In a way, yes. And not thought presses like we have, you know, that kind of thing. It used to scare me when I was a kid. I used to be really frightened about it because, you know, you can't reason with them, that sort of thing.
No.
And so this is hitting all those buttons.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And it's fun because it's more Philip K. Dick than Man in the High Castle, as far as I'm concerned.
I haven't seen Man in the High Castle.
Oh, it's pretty good. It's all right. You know, I don't mind it. Probably one of the best things that Amazon has done, but The Tick now so much better.
I saw there was this used bookstore. You know how they put stickers on the books and it has the price and everything. And on this particular one, it had the title on the top and the author's last name on the line below it. but the title was too long to fit the entire title. So what it actually said was, "Do androids dream of dick?"
Ha 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 ha. Oh, that's too bad. And they do.
Bit of a chuckle. Well, that's a fair question.
If I know, yeah, I bet you they do. You know, they wake up, they feel weird about it, but you know, what are they gonna do?
Yeah.
They're robots. Yeah, I liked Blade Runner a lot. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, we have a Blade Runner call out in the show I'm doing right now at Cafe Nordo.
Really?
Yeah.
What happens?
Well, the show is all about robots from the future traveling back in time to destroy Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And so it is, again,
seems
one of those,
like a good use of their time.
It's one of those things. Are people people or are people robots?
Yep.
And
it's going to be
our reveal that one of the people is a robot is the Blade Runner theme. And he's even holding he's holding a white dove and he talks about tears and rain.
Nice. That's good. I like it.
Which was an ad lib by Rutger Hauer. You probably knew that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Either that or I've been. Oh, I'm going to ruin the cat's day. I'm on this chair, and now I'm getting up.
And was the
cat,
on
off
you?
The chair. Not the it's my sleep lawn chair. Hey Betty, you can go in that room now. You can go in that room. It was my sleep lawn chair, and it tilts back. So the cat, you know.
Do you no longer sleep in the chair?
I do sleep in the chair.
Okay.
Yeah, all the time. On vacation, I didn't sleep in the chair, and it bugged me.
You are a robot, sir.
It hurt my bag.
Normal,
I knew it.
Normal humans don't sleep in chairs. I tell
you. This is what I'm talking about.
I had to put the heavy blanket on my bed last night because it's getting cold. So cold.
Mm.
I have the space heater in the office here at Annex that Beth Peterson gave me, and it's getting a workout, I'll tell you what. Because constantly. Beth Peterson. You know Beth.
Oh, Beth Peterson. Yeah. I like Beth Peterson. She's great.
Yeah.
How's she doing?
You know, I haven't spoken with her in a while. We did Sketchfest back in September, and after the festival, after our post-mortem meeting, we take the rest of the year off. And so I haven't really seen any of the Sketchfest people since the end of the festival back in September.
Wow.
Yeah. So
what you get for not leaving your room.
Yeah, I'm assuming she's doing all right. She lost her cat recently, so that's been sad.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah, her cat did that thing where it just ran away.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't come back.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, we had.
Although
we had cats.
That happened to our cat Hermes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I remember that little jerk.
You remember Hermes? Oh yeah.
if I'm honest, I hated that cat.
Yeah, I think that's why Hermes ran away. Actually,
it wasn't because of me. Because
you weren't nice to him. He got sad.
I was nice.
No, I don't know.
I was nice to that cat. More nice than I should have been.
You had the patience of a saint with that cat, if I remember correctly.
I do remember walking.
You had to cat sit. You had to cat sit him.
I did have to cat sit.
Remember that?
And I remember being at your house one night, and we're walking through, and Hermes attacked me. Like the cat would do that thing where the cat would just jump at me and just grab on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how come Hermes doesn't attack you like this? And you said something to the effect of, well, if you kick him across the room a couple times, he stops doing it.
No, no, that is not what I said.
What did you say?
That is absolutely not what I said. I said, Jennifer says that what you have to do when that happens is push him with your foot. Push him with your foot sounds a lot like kick him across the room, but it's not the same thing.
Officer, he hit my fist with his head. I don't know how.
Oh my god. That's not the thing. Yo. But no. Jennifer has some rules about training cats. One of them is to make sure that they never think that hands are toys.
Yeah.
I like that one, personally. But, you know, we can't...
Yeah.
We can't all be Abby, as far as cats go. I love Abby. She's such a good cat.
We had...
You know, you probably... If you hear some weird noises, she was purring into the phone.
Purring?
I mean, into the recorder.
Purring I can abide, but there've been a couple of times where you've been eating chips on the podcast.
I'm eating marshmallows right now.
Or opening up a bag. There was one, I can't remember, I didn't bring it up because I don't want to be a jerk and be constantly telling you not to do things, but there was one episode where I think you were holding your recorder in the same hand you were opening up a bag of chips with, and it was super loud.
Funny, get ready, because I think the same thing happened this time, too.
Awesome. Yeah, I don't hear it over the phone.
We'll see. I'm eating... you know what I love, Ben?
What's
stale
that?
Stale marshmallows.
Stale marshmallows?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you are a robot, I've determined.
You know what? I really think there's a big possibility that I am, Ben. But it's all right.
Not the psychopathic kind. Not the...
No, exactly.
No, almost, of course, correcting to the other side. Maybe a bit too much.
Overly
empathetic,
players.
Cybernetic android.
Oh, hey, you will understand this. I've come up with an idea. It's called the fruit stand theory.
You set up a fruit stand in a market and eventually a car will run into it?
Similar, very similar. It's that all of us, you, me, you know, Betty, Jennifer, all of us, we've lived our lives because at some point in time, some big action scene is going to happen and we are going to be in the background of it and they want us to react realistically. So they're giving us all these backstories.
That's sort of, that's kind of a plays into a theory I've had for a while, which is that the government knows that aliens exist and live among us. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why we have a lot of alien TV shows and movies, is to
get
the populace
yes.
prepared for it.
That is actually, okay, first of all these that we've been saying theory, they're all hypotheses. Just want to throw that out there. Number two, though,
give me
what
a typewriter
just said,
and an Etch-a-Sketch and I can prove it.
What you've just said is a big, big popular theory about the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Okay.
The idea was that Steven Spielberg was supposed to be, the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind was supposed to get people ready.
I hadn't heard that.
To share the world with aliens. Yeah. True story.
True story. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how true of a story that is. It sounds like a true
true fake story.
True fake story. There we go. It is a true thing that people believed, but it is not actually a true thing.
Yeah. Look it up.
I'm not going to. You can't make
me. You'll find the information, Ben. Okay, so
in the same way that the moon landings were directed by
Stanley Kubrick, exactly.
Kubrick,
yes.
Yeah. Man, why couldn't I think of his name?
Because you have been programmed not to, Ben. I have some news for you.
Because I'm middle-aged and my memory is fading.
You're a middle-aged robot.
I need a firmware upgrade.
Anita firmware upgrade. I went to school with Anita firmware upgrade. man. And on that note, Ben.
Paul.
We are... Wait. Oh, man.
Boy, this hour just flew by, didn't it?
We're so close to being... Yeah. Oh, hey, Betty. Do you want talking to Betty time for a sec?
We're so close to being what?
Okay. We're so close to being done with the podcast, is what I was going to say. But I want to talk to Betty because
we have about
here she is.
45 seconds.
Okay, Ben,
Paul,
check this out.
Yeah.
Betty and I have been reading Homestuck together.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And
what
I
that
gotta
is.
Say,
I keep dying. Oh. As in, I throw into a coffin fit every time I do certain voices.
Yeah, she's doing different voices.
Okay.
And some of them hurt her voice because she does different things.
Yeah, like some raspiness like this.
Well, she's got to do some vocal warm-ups first.
See, I'm dying.
Yeah, you just need to do vocal warm-ups first. That's a good idea, Ben. But anyway, yeah, it's really actually pretty good. I like it a lot.
Homestuck. Now, I thought that was a video game. Is that a book?
Okay, so this is the crazy thing. It's written kind of like a text adventure game.
Okay. Right?
But there's only one way through it. Does that make sense? You just click next, 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 and you're going through it. There's no logic of choice behind it.
Okay. So it's
if that makes any
it's,
sense.
It's like a clickbaity short story where different paragraphs are on different pages. I'm not saying
that's right.
That there's ads
it's
everywhere.
It's not a short story. It's a long story, Ben. So long.
Okay, it's a clickbait novel.
8,000 pages.
8,000 pages.
Eight.
Oh, speaking of so long.
Jesus.
It's that time.
Hey, all right.
Hey, Ben, I like you.
Yeah. Keep it.
Thanks for calling.
Keep it wrong, Paul.
Oh, wait, I called you. Keep it wrong, Ben. All right, where did this?
All right, talk to you later. Okay. Bye.
I'm good.
Yep.
Yep, talk to you later. Yep. Bye.
Stay warm.
I'm getting it.
Get run.
Yep, you too. Don't get snowed on.
Yeah.
Snowden.